You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. Alright friends, super cool episode like they all are, but I have a great friend and co-host, Rachel Bell. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
This is your first co-hosting right now.
It is. Pressure's on.
No pressure. Come on, chill. We're good. But your episode got great feedback and everyone loves your story. And people agreed that you might be the next Erica Palmer.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, because I think she's the goat. And you are like the up-and-coming goat, by the way.
A little baby goat.
I like it. Baby goat. I like that. But I have a friend for you, Rach. You and I have a mutual friend, Miss Libby. Libby, yes. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing?
Doing really well.
Yeah.
Very excited.
It's great to be. I'm glad you're here.
Me too.
It's great to see you.
Thank you.
It's great to like have a conversation with you.
It's nice to just see people.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because that last year was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone got affected and It's just nice to like kind of sort of be back to normal life. But then at that time we can hug and hang out and it's not weird anymore. Mm-hmm. But we still got to be careful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But thank God we can like hug each other and just see each other. Because I was going crazy and I'm an extrovert. So I was going, yeah, batshit crazy.
I bet.
This is cool. I think I've literally mostly seen Libby through Zoom and not as much in person.
Yeah.
So it's been great moving back, and it's also, I'm really excited to actually get to know you in depth today.
Yes. Me too.
Very fun.
It's going to be awesome.
So then, Libby, let's just get out of the gate. Who are you? Where you come from? What do you do?
So I have been in Utah about 20 years. The last six, I have been employed for Wasatch and Squatters. I actually started just at that Wasatch and Sugar House right around the corner. Waiting tables there, really didn't know much about craft beer. And then over the last few years, I've just really dived into it. So let's kick off with this guy.
Yes.
So one of my favorite questions is, you know, what beer was it that made you go, oh, craft beer?
Hell yes.
Yeah. And so for me, it was a Ghost Rider. I was at brunch with a friend, and beer before then had just been whatever was in a Red Solo cup on a Friday or Saturday night. And I ordered this pizza, and it was like a Mexican-style pizza, and the server said, oh, you should try out a Ghost Rider with that. I think it would pair really well. And I looked at her, and I was like, are you pairing a beer with food right now? And she was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, okay, bring it out. And the universe spoke, and 6 months later, I was working at the Wasatch over here.
Oh, did you have any idea that was going to happen?
Not at all, no.
So what were you going to school for? Or like, what would you want to be growing up?
Oh, so I went to music school. I went to Snow College and studied music education there. And then switched over, moved up to Salt Lake, got a business degree from SLIC, and was planning on studying economics at the U. I did that for one semester before I really kind of just decided it wasn't for me, wasn't really worth the big investment that it is. I mean, God bless education, but I knew I wanted to focus my time somewhere else.
Wow. And well, music, so what instruments do you play or can you play?
So I went in as a flautist, a classical flautist. Yeah, thank you. I played the flute for a long time, then kind of switched over to vocal education. You know, when you do an education degree like that, they kind of have you learn as many instruments as you can. So I picked up piano there and also the mandolin, which is kind of the only thing I still kind of play around with.
Mandolin is the, remind me what the mandolin is.
It's like a little bitty guitar. It's tuned like a violin, but it's double stringed and you pluck it.
Oh my God.
It's Italian traditionally, but I use it a lot for bluegrass.
That's super rad.
Yeah.
Should have brought that in today.
Yeah, we should. I didn't know that. So okay, tell me about playing the flute real quick, because that looks so difficult.
It is.
Your fingers move so fast, mm-hmm. and I couldn't do that. So tell me about playing the flute. Like, is it hard? I mean, it is hard, but like, how long did it take you to like master it?
It was one of those things I don't think I ever quite mastered it. It was a lot of playing it in, you know, elementary school, junior high school, and then going into college thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to be a world-class classical flautist. And then you kind of learn more about that scene and realize that there's like four of them, right?
Oh, my God.
But I had some great teachers there. I learned a lot about, one, just hard work and practice and what pays off and what doesn't. And, yeah, learned, you know, that it just wasn't for me.
Can you still play it?
I don't know. I haven't picked it up in probably a few years.
So I say episode two.
Right.
Like it just comes on, start playing.
Fun fact, I literally cannot play a flute. My amateur cannot make a sound happen. I had some music background as well and like doing like band and things like that. Mm-hmm. I ended up doing cello. But I had, you know, I had friends who played all instruments and I literally cannot make a sound on a flute. They're like, I don't know. Like we're telling you to do all the right things and you just can't do it.
Can you like blow across a beer bottle and make a sound that way?
Yeah.
Have you, that's so weird.
I've never known to make a sound similar. I don't know. My amateur, mm-hmm. There's a big fancy, yeah. Fancy music word. Yeah, that's like, yeah. Fucked up.
I'm trying to think of how to spell that. I'm like, nope, pass. Can't even Google it. I don't know how to spell it.
Starts with an O.
Right? Maybe. A? Secret Y? I don't know. But you guys are sitting here talking about musical gifts, and I'm like, I think I could play the cowbell. That's about it. Like, I don't have... Like, I think I sang choir in junior high school, mm-hmm. and that was it. But I don't have, like, can't play the piano, can't play the guitar, can't play anything like that. So I'm confused, like, what's going on? All right, Libby, so we were talking about the mandolin, mm-hmm. and then I just remembered it's on R.E.M.'s song, Losing My Religion, that you brought up, right, Rachel? And so can you still play that?
I do, yeah, I usually... play it more just to accompany myself singing, so I'm not like technically very good at that either, but man, it's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to like detach and have all that fun self-realization and meditate.
That's so cool. That's so cool. So you poured us the Ghostwriter.
I did.
So tell us about why this is your favorite. I know you got that awesome pairing, but why? Why do you like
you
it
know,
so much?
It really is just kind of that memory now for me. It's a great beer. It's really approachable. It's, you know, it started as a white IPA, which is usually a mix of a Belgian kind of flavoring with an IPA. We still do coriander in it. It still has a lot of lemon present. So it is still really an easy food pairing, which is great for, you know, when I'm talking with servers and stuff. But it's just kind of that memory and that little click of the universe was like, hey, girl, here's this beer. And we'll see you. We'll see you in a little bit. Like,
that's a cool
story. It
was
really cool.
Yeah. Wow. So then... once you have this, by the way, I mean, who doesn't like the Ghost Rider?
Right.
It's always been fun. But once you have the Ghost Rider, what was your next, like, okay, I got to go try another beer. Like, did you think, oh, my God, I have to try more beers while I'm sitting here eating pizza? Or mm-hmm. did you?
No, you know, it kind of, I took that moment and I was like, huh, interesting, craft beer, weird. All right. And then, you know, I was pretty young. We would still go out to the bar a lot. And I started just kind of going around the line of beers and the Bongo Lounge, if you guys have ever been there. It's a little divey bar on Highland. It's really great, cash only, super dark, really fun. And they do Baba. They've always had Baba. And man, did I love that beer. And I still love that beer. And I would look so cool with my big stein of this black beer, right? Walking around the bar, just this like 22-year-old. And so it was already just this kind of feeling of like, this is me, this is mine. I'm going to proudly wander around and be like, what is that, Budweiser? No, get out of here. I got my Baba. Have you had this? Try this. And I didn't know what I was talking about, but I knew I felt really good about it.
Hell yeah. I love that.
I do too. This
wow. Because like when you're talking about this beer, you're lighting up. You mm-hmm. can see it. Like you have that about you, and that's really cool. And I'm trying to think, what pizza was it you paired it with?
You know, I don't know. I know the pizza had like pico de gallo and chicken and just oh, and wow. probably cotija and other Mexican flavors.
Oh,
on
yeah,
there.
Is it Mexican pizza? That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
I mean, this can go with a pepperoni pizza. Mm-hmm. I think the only pizza that wouldn't go with would probably be a straight cheese pizza. That's just me, though. I think a little pepperoni, I mean, a little bit of meat, a little protein.
To me, pizza's pizza. I don't care what's on it.
How dare you?
I know.
Little Caesars and Papa John's are completely different.
Okay, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Sorry. Like, even if it's just cheese, it's still a good pizza.
A delicious pizza.
If the core of the pizza is a good pizza. Like, if you can have that pizza just cheese and it's still delicious.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You got something there. Mm-hmm. I got you. So then, Libby, Wasatch. Just because the IPA is, I mean, the Ghost Rider is from Wasatch, and you work for the co-op right now. Mm-hmm. Is that on purpose? Did you like, this is my first beer, it happened here, so I want to try to work for this place?
You know, I was working for, I've been in hospitality, you know, for like 15 years. I was waiting tables at a very large corporate restaurant and had just moved out to Salt Lake City and was really looking for something smaller, local, and something that just had a little bit more care put into everything they did. And this location at Sugar House had probably only been open about 9 months. And I went in and I applied and I got set up for an interview, came in here, and that's when we all realized I was supposed to be interviewing at the one in Park City.
Oh my God.
I was so heartbroken. And the manager at the time was like, well, you know, let's just go chat. I always, you know, servers are rotating. Let's go chat and I'll get to know you and we'll see if this is a good fit. And so we went up and talked, and it was probably the funnest interview I've ever had, where he just really wanted to get to know me, very similar to this situation. And he was like, yeah, you know what? I feel really good about this. We'll get you on the schedule. We'll figure this out.
Hell yeah,
like,
Libby.
Oh my gosh, thanks. And yeah, he sent me home with a six pack. And at that point, they really didn't have any kind of formal beer education for that location because it was so new. And so he was like, yeah, just grab a six pack, hit up beeradvocate.com and read about them. And yeah, and then that's how it started. But then I had some great trainers along the way too.
That's really cool. Who in the beer industry do you guys, you look up to the most?
You know, in that building, if you guys know Rich, I always say his last name wrong, Vosepka. He actually used to hang out with Chad quite a bit. He was the first person that let me brew a beer with him in that building right over there.
Oh, hell yeah.
So he's always been, and he was a trainer. He trained me as a server, taught me so much about beer, did some little classes there. So he really was the person who kind of really let me get my foot in the door and kind of showed me that I could have this training if I wanted it. You know, and then Nils in Park City and Jason at the Pub Downtown, both those head brewers have also been really supportive of me trying to learn and getting to know everything. And their doors are always wide open and they're like, hey, come hang out and brew with me and let's talk about this malt. And I got this new hop in and let's check it out. It's a lot of fun.
I have a question. When did you hit that point in learning about beer? Just from like drinking it and appreciating it and selling it. Like, when did you hit that point? Like, you know, like maybe I want to try to make it. Like what made you want to take that next step?
You know, I was working at this Sugar House location. I finished up my business degree and I switched over to our accounting department and I made it 8 months there before I was like, no, I miss operations. I miss the restaurants. I miss the brewery. Like, so that's when I actually first started working at the co-op on 1700 South. I was bartending there and serving here at the same time. Just being around those guys and being around that atmosphere and having that those conversations happen around you all the time just really hit a switch. And then it was really Rich who was just like, well, come brew. You like it so much, come brew with me. And I was like, okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that guy's the best.
that is really cool.
That means so much, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. Any brewers listening, you know, just offer that to anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody who seems to have a passion, interest in beer. It means so much.
Yeah. So when I was interviewing Eight Settlers, the distillers, just started, they came from High West, and they're blending, and Dylan and Jason said to me, they would rather take a brewer or distiller with a passion versus one with experience. Mm-hmm. And I mean, how much experience did you have making a beer? Zero, mm-hmm. Right? Did you homebrew before that?
No.
So you had zero experience, but then a brewer's like, hey, your passion's palpable. Like, mm-hmm. Come on over, let's like, look, let's do this. And that's really cool because that's the family that we have here in Utah. Like, we're mm-hmm. all together, and it doesn't matter where you come from or what experience you do or don't have. Like, I love Utah craft beer, distilling, fermentation. Like, this is why I'm doing this, because, like, cool people like you exist, and they're here, right here in our own home. And, yeah, I'm going to give Rich a high five. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. And what was the first beer? Do you remember the first beer you made?
We made a pale ale with all Laurel hops. And so it was Libby's Laurel Hop Pale Ale. And he said it was his fastest-selling one-off at that location. And I was very proud of it, and I sent all my friends over to drink it.
Hell yeah. That's awesome, Libby. Oh, my God. How long ago was that?
Oh, my gosh. That was 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I want to try while. That. Make it again.
Yeah, make it again. Let's go. Figure it out.
Yeah.
So then going off of that, you brewed that beer. After you brewed that beer, what did you do? You're like, I need a home brew. I need to make. I need to be mm-hmm. in the industry. Like, what? Take us in your mindset from that point after you saw a beer being made.
You know, we did that beer. I was still bartending at the co-op, just really trying to immerse myself. I explained it that I was auditing every conversation, right? Like, so the lab guy and the brewer and some sales rep would be sitting at the bar, and I'd just be like, my hand cupped to my ear, for those who can't see, just leaned over, listening intently, trying to pick up any information I could, trying to figure it all out, you know, trying to figure out how every little piece of this machine worked. And then I had this great opportunity to kind of move up. They had a position that is super valuable, but when it opened up, it's called the Beer Ambassador, and they just handled the front of house training. So servers, we teach the servers about the beer and the whole brewing process and our beers in particular and pairing and that sort of thing. And so that job came into fruition, and I knew I wanted it. And so I started just studying so intently, like, I'm going to get this. This is going to be for me. Here I am. And then I didn't get it.
Oh, damn.
But that's okay, because I had already started this, you know, snowball of getting into, you know, checking out Cicerone, checking out BJCP, checking out, you know, other brewing every chance I could get, you know, being present for brews.
Right, which is important.
A lot of it's just standing in the corner going, what's that? Hey, what are you doing over there? And it really kind of kickstarted that whole idea of like, oh, I really just want to lean into this educational aspect of this, because, you know, the start I got, while it's really romantic and it's beautiful now to look back on it, it didn't feel easy getting into. And I would love to just kind of keep that door broad, wide open for everybody. And I feel like that education and making it super accessible is a good way to do that.
Wow. Wow, Libby.
I love that. I love that so much.
Man, you are a badass.
Oh, thanks.
So you got another beer for us. So
yes.
Which one that you just want to just showcase?
So these are just some things I'm excited about. So let's do this one next. So COVID happens, right? And it really messes with the hospitality industry. We, like a lot of people, had to do a lot of laying off and losing a lot of people that, you know, had to go do other things. And the beer ambassador position kind of fell aside, you know, just with it not being the most important thing at that time. And then, you know, we started to realize this as our restaurants opened back up and people were coming in to dine, and we were rehiring and hiring new people, that we needed that training still. So then I got the offer to become the beer ambassador, you know, yes. A year and a half after not getting it, which was super cool. I had never lost that momentum. Right around the same time, we have this civil rights movement going on. The Black is Beautiful beer comes out, and Nils and I both just know that we want to be a part of that. We want to make sure that Wasatch and Squatters are letting people know that we're here for them and we're ready to foster those changes that need to be made in the industry and in the world. And so, yeah, I went down to Park City, and after writing some very long, very heartfelt emails, went to Park City and brewed this beer with him. And so it's a little older, but it's a nice heavy stout, so it should be just fine. And it's one that I'm super proud of.
And you helped make.
And I helped
make. Oh, my God. That is so cool. Because I've had some of the Black is Beautiful from, I think I had the one from Keto, Salt Fire, and there's one more. I haven't had this one, though.
Oh, good.
I'm excited to see. Did you guys use it? So this is from Weather Souls, started the movement, mm-hmm. For this label. Did you change the recipe they put out?
We didn't. No, we stuck with it as closely as we could.
Gotcha.
For the ingredients that we had on hand.
Oh, hell yeah. Rachel, have you had a Black is Beautiful beer?
Oh, yeah. Well, Keto's made one.
The Keto, so when you I had was that there. One?
Yeah, and same thing. They made the same decision, like, let's not mess with this recipe. The guys made this recipe, and so actually, like, I'm really excited. I still have some cellared cans of the Keto's one. So now I'm probably going to want to go home and maybe open one. But it came out so good. And I cannot wait to one day go to Weathered Souls, honestly, yeah. After drinking that beer. But I don't think I ever got to actually try yours when it came out. What's I think that? I only had the Keto's and maybe the Salt Fire.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think and there's maybe one. Fisher came out. Yeah. Really? Fisher?
I think someone Red Rock did one.
Red okay. Rock. Yeah. That's right. It was in a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that was the other thing. Like, it was still kind of COVID-y, and so like, mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to really go out and try tough. Everyone that did it. So mm-hmm. I'm really excited about this. Let's do it.
Awesome. Geeking out. So while you're pouring this one, Libs, why – I know you're talking about how this one came to fruition, but why does this one mean so much to you besides making it? Like, what's the Black is Beautiful label mean to you?
It definitely kind of gave me that understanding that the hardships that are faced by people in this industry, you know, shouldn't go unnoticed and they shouldn't go unresolved. And it really kind of helped me feel a little bit more empowered to make those changes. I gave you a real big pour.
Oh, I'm a big gorilla. I can handle it.
Kind of helped me get into that feeling of, okay, so now I'm, you know, getting into this industry in this state in particular, where we have such a smaller sample size of craft beer enjoyers anyway, what can I do? What role can I play to kind of help diversify our tap rooms and, you know, our customers and the people we're trying to make happy and the people we're trying to bring into that family?
That's beautiful. God damn it, Libby. Hey, cheers, my friends.
Yeah. We didn't do a cheers with the first one, so we gotta do this cheers now. Very roasty and delicious.
Is it just me, or maybe I still have some of that IPA in there, but I get like a raspberry sweetness. Mm. Like a
Oh yeah, I'm getting like some fruit. I'm getting fruit, some fruit.
Yeah, like a I can't call it. You guys getting that? It's not just
like
me,
a
or
dark fruit, for sure.
Stone fruity. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Maybe. I would almost say more kind of like cherry, like a dark cherry than a raspberry. But I'm getting some chocolate too on the back end.
I just want a dessert right now. Fun. Yeah. Like a chocolate decadence.
Stouts are fun, guys. So much to taste.
I love it. So going off that, Levy, with the Black is Beautiful, you know, little movement, being a female in the brewing industry, is that also difficult for you to be? Like, is it hard? Is it kind of challenging?
It has been, yeah. And it's surprising, you know, even just in the last couple weeks, there's instances where there's just a lot of assumptions made when you walk into a tap room or a bar. You know, I think in the beginning when I was really trying to take this very seriously and get really into this industry and make sure it was going to be my career, there was a little, it wasn't pushback as much as it was just they didn't take me seriously, right? Yeah. And they didn't... they weren't as welcoming as they could have been, and it was a lot of squeezing into places instead of feeling very invited. I think the more general population of women that are in this, when you walk into a brewery or a tap room or a bar, you do get those assumptions of, you know, what you do and don't know and what you want and don't want, and that still happens to me just a couple weeks ago.
Damn, I'm sorry, Libs. I mean, Rachel, you probably have the same as both of you, female brewers. Like, what?
Oh, yeah. And every time that I've told people, even people who know me a little bit, I'm like, oh, I'm working at Hopkins now. They're like, oh, are you bartending? I'm like, no. Like, absolutely. I would say absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I still, you know, I might, like everybody, like, you know, hiring issues and stuff. So, yeah, I don't mind stepping up and doing that. But I'm like, why do you assume that that would be, like, my primary job?
Yeah,
I don't like that misconception that you ladies have to are faced with. The fact that, you know, just because you're a female, you can't brew beer. Mm-hmm. That's like ridiculous to me. For me, I didn't think it was a big issue until I interviewed the Pink Boots, you know, the girls. And you guys are both part of the Pink Boots, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's probably like, by the way, side note, how are those meetings? Are they just fucking awesome? I have this idea you guys have like a ball. See? Yeah, I have this idea you guys have a rowdy party. It's just fun, love, and just epic.
It's not that rowdy.
I mean, not like rowdy where we're all getting shmammy and shit faced, but like it's probably like great times, just loud. Looks like you guys are smiling and laughing.
Did you just say no? Because you shmammy.
Shmammy, yeah. Shmammy. You not heard that one?
I gotta write that on my notes.
Yeah, it's like what? Yeah, my version of shit face, shmammy.
Cute. No, we get real nerdy. We get really excited about nerdy shit about beer. It's really fun. I don't know.
Wow, but I bet it's just fun. I wish I could sit in one of those meetings. I really do.
You can.
I mean, I asked Jackie King if I could have pink boots, and she goes, absolutely you can. So I'm going to buy me some pink boots, and I'm going to wear them at the brewery.
If you can find them, not enough companies make them.
Yeah. Well, I'll start something. Let's go. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
But, Libby, so pink boots, you're part of that, but watching you, I mean, for me, I don't really, it's going to sound really bad. I don't know how to phrase this, but I don't care. Growing up with a single parent mom, like I learned real quick not to judge a book by its cover, as cliche as that sounds. But I remember, it's a story I've told before, but we were pulled on the side of the road, and we saw our friends and family, neighborhood people drive by. My mom needed help with a flat tire. And then these big-ass bikers with chains and cuts and everything and tattoos and shaved heads and all that stopped by. And at the time, I was told, like, those people you avoid because bad shit could happen, right? And they're the only ones that stopped by, helped my mother fix a flat tire, followed my mother with us three kids all the way home, made sure that she got home safe, and then they didn't need anything, and they just on their way. Mm-hmm. And on that moment, and I was probably fucking 12 years old, maybe. And I've never forgot that because I'm like, dude, I don't give a shit what you... And for me, ever since then, I'm like, I don't see... This is, I'm really gentle saying this. I don't see color, race, religion, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I told Rachel this earlier this morning. Just don't be an asshole. Mm-hmm. I love people. I really do. But just don't be an asshole. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for you ladies because, like, I don't, if you guys are like, hey, what do you do? I'm a brewer. Fuck yeah, what do you brew? Like, that, my next question is like, okay, what's something you're proud about? Like, talk to me. And I'm, oh, you brew? Oh, fascinating. You don't bartend? That's just weird to me. I don't get that. And I'm sorry you ladies have to deal with that. That's frustrating.
You know, I think it's a great point you make on just not making those generalizations. There are definitely some beautiful things that people's race and gender and sex and religion bring to them as a person. I love being a woman, and I love being a woman in this industry most of the time. But it's just letting go of those assumptions and kind of that happens a lot. You know, no matter your gender, people will quiz you and test you and see if you're really, are you really into craft beer? Or are you just like a little poser? And we all start somewhere, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I would get those quizzes. I would get those checks, you know, like, do you know this? Have you done this? Have you had this? Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of little, like, did you pass the test? And I would love for more people to feel like they can go into our spaces and know that they're not going to be quizzed and they're not going to be hassled, that we're just going to be like, oh, you don't know that yet? Let me teach you about it. Or like, you're going to, or what do you know that I don't? Let's learn together. And so I think that's a great way to kind of approach it.
Like inviting. Mm-hmm. I like Rich, like, hey, come brew me. Come brew. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Like, just be inviting. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can get, yeah, just don't be an asshole.
Yeah. Don't be an asshole.
That's the thing. I mean, you know, when you first meet somebody, you could see past, you know, the surface things. Mm-hmm. But then once you actually get to know them, like, it's cool. Like, we are a big amalgamation of all those different experiences and parts of us and different cultures that impact us. And I think it's rad, but I think just knowing that you can have that, you can have a deeper connection with somebody. But I think beer is so great for that. Mm. Like, you see mm-hmm. that, like, in tap rooms or beer bars or places, like, two people who probably normally would not come together and talk, like, they'll start talking, and it's so cool. It's so cool to see that happen. And that's why, like, I do love, like, even if I'm not, like, actually bartending, I do love just, like, sitting and working on my computer in the tap room, because you just see, like, real life, and, like, people coming together over your beer is really, like, the coolest thing ever. Yeah. And I feel like you I think all of us agree. Like, we all make beer. We're all in the industry. Mm-hmm. It's super cool. So, actually, question, like, what are... You can have multiple ones, but, like, the most, like, rewarding experience for you, like, especially coming into, like, the beer ambassador role, like, mm-hmm. what was, do you have a moment where you're like, oh my God, fuck yeah, like, I changed this person's life, or like, or something like that, like, just where you were like, I did this, yeah. I secretly, or not so secretly, like, did something and uh-huh. impacted somebody. Do you have a story like that?
I think, you know, there are a lot of small victories, and just so many of them with the Black is Beautiful, and we have the Brave Noise coming up, which I can talk about more later. Kind of having those discussions, you know, because I'm still working as a trainer. I'm pulling, you know, 10 servers aside and taking up, you know, 3 hours of their valuable time to help them be better servers and better beer tenders. But at the same time, I, you know, try to talk to them about how do we make our space as welcoming as possible, and how do we eliminate those assumptions that we could have learned along the way, and to see some of them just go, just so happy to hear somebody talking about it is really wonderful, to kind of see them like, hell yeah, yeah, we can do that. And then also every time I get somebody from UBC that joins up for Pink Boots, I get really pumped.
So tell us about that. Why? For those who don't know what UBC is.
So that's Utah Brewers Cooperative. That's the Wasatch and Squatters brands together. So for me, it was, I think I read about Pink Boots online or something, and I mentioned it to Heather Lee, if you know her. She's John Lee's wonderful wife. And I said, hey, have you heard of this Pink Boots? Like, should we start one? And she's like, oh, no, there is one. And I was like, well, I've been in this building for like a year and a half. What? How come I didn't know? And so now it's like the first thing I talk to, you know, any person I meet that I think might, you know, just have an ounce of interest in craft beer. I'm like, you know what you should do? You should come hang out with us at Pink Boots and just really, really want to make sure we foster and help that growth as much as we can.
I love that. You ladies are so awesome. I love this so much. So, I mean, the black, I love this black, I keep wanting to drink it and have more dessert. Like, I want dessert. I don't know about you ladies,
but. It's very, very sweet.
Rach, what do you think about this Black is Beautiful beer?
Oh, I really like it. Yeah. That's the thing. We should start having people like bring some snack pairings with your beers because inevitably we will want to snack.
No, because it's going to become a 6-hour episode and we're going to sit here with charcuterie boards and just be here forever.
Oh my God, you guys. I have some like dark chocolate in my purse over
there. Oh my God. Let's try a pairing. Yeah. Rach, you go do that.
Keep talking. I'll be right back.
Maybe I have a question for you.
Sure.
So as a distiller, as a brewer, have you ever done a collaboration with another Pink Boots member or a brewer or talk about collaboration?
Most of my brewing experience is starting a brew like Black is Beautiful or coming up with an idea with Mill Creek Cocoa. Mm-hmm. I had gotten their chocolates into my store. So I run the West Side Tavern and Beer Store there. And we set up a pairing of their chocolates with some of our bigger barrel-aged beers for Valentine's Day. And then came around the next year, and we were like, oh, we should do that again. That worked out really well. And then I reached out to Jason Stock at the pub downtown, and I was like, hey, you know, would you want to brew a beer with these cocoa nibs? Like, is there something you'd want to do with these guys? And that actually turned into the Smooth Operator. So a lot of it for me is just kind of facilitating these ideas, and I love that aspect too, because Wasatch and Squatters are such recognizable names. You know, they're really big players in this state. To kind of make sure that we're still staying, you know, making friends and learning from the other great local companies around us. And Mill Creek Cocoa Roasters is probably she's one of my favorite ladies.
Oh, hell yeah. I like that. I'll steal a little more of this and let's pair this real quick. Yeah. So Rach, where'd you get this chocolate from?
I think, I'm trying to remember, just, I don't know, like walking through a grocery store and I was like, I want to treat myself. And so this is dark chocolate with almonds and sea salt. It's actually probably like, I don't know how the salt's going to work with the beer, but I don't know. It's chocolate, and I'm really happy I was carrying this on my person. Yeah, it works.
It makes it more chocolatey.
Well, that was fun.
Huh. I don't get the stone fruit or the, not stone fruit, but the sweet, like cherry. I like the cherry. I don't get that cherry note.
I think the salt's doing some weird stuff.
Hmm.
For me, but it's not bad.
No.
It's definitely changed the way the beer tastes.
It does. I like the beer as is, I think.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we tried it. That was fun. That was spontaneous.
That was our first step to a charcuterie board next time we hang out.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know about you ladies, but we're going to take a quick break, a little restroom break. You ladies okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds good.
Tastemasters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you will receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help.
All right, ladies, we are back. I hope you guys feel refreshed and good to go. Rachel's dying over here, but...
What? I'm great. I'm ready. Psyched.
So we were going to ask you a question about the Squasatch or the co-op.
Yes, Squasatch, the co-op, the UBC. Wasatch and Squatters were both founded around the same time. Wasatch in 86 in Park City, Squatters down here in 89. And there wasn't a whole lot going on, obviously, in the craft beer world around then. So they really worked together, helped each other with ingredients, if they ran out of bottles, if they needed, you know, manual labor support, like that sort of thing. And then in 1994, they went in together on the building that I work at now on 1700 South, the Utah Brewers Cooperative, also home to the West Side Tavern and Cold Beer Store. Mm-hmm. And they partnered up and became the Utah Brewers Cooperative. And then in the year 2000, we were the founding breweries of a craft beer collective called Canarchy, which now includes six other craft breweries around the nation. The beauty of Canarchy in the last year, it has really proven to help with capital, with distribution power, with that sort of thing, with idea exchange. You know, for a long time, the brew pubs that are part of Wasatch and Squatters were really kind of the breadwinners. And then in 2020, we couldn't operate. You know, our restaurants weren't open, so we really leaned on the brewery. And thankfully, around the world, you know, beer sales went up 100% because people drink when they're happy and they also drink when they're sad and upset. So we really were able to lean on the brewery here for that kind of support for the entire company. And then again, you know, just as we have a sister brewery in California, we have a sister brewery in Florida. We're able to reach out and say, hey, how are you handling a mask mandate? How are you reopening your bar? How did you get that beer garden up and running? What kind of, you know, licenses did you need for that food truck? Just as the whole industry has changed, we've been able to lean on a massive amount of people with all sorts of different information to kind of get through it together. You know, and the big part of it was to, as breweries get bigger and about the size that we are, is when Anheuser-Busch or MillerCoors will come a-calling and a-courting, and they have their little craft beer acquisition centers, and they'll do what they do, and we've been able to maintain our independence and function, you know, as a local brewery with the distribution power of a bigger brewery.
That's really rad. That's nice that, you know, just having those resources, being able to help everybody involved. Also, this is fascinating for me since I've only been in Utah like 3.5 years. I never fully understood like what the co-op was or like what I see. I thought that like they had only come together and joined up like right before I moved here. I thought it was extremely recent. So I just learned so much. I hope other people did too. That's so cool that they were like always kind of like a co-op and helped. Mm-hmm. That's so sweet.
Yeah. So it is really cute. Canarchy start in Utah?
So it's a Wasatch and Squatters were kind of the first official, because we were already that co-op, the first official kind of idea is that collaborative effort. Oscar Blues is probably the biggest name in the collaborative, and they kind of spurred the whole idea, like, hey, here we are. We don't want to sell out. We don't want to lose who we are as a Colorado brewery. And they, you know, had their finances and they reached out to us and we went, yeah, that's a great idea. And then Cigar City joined up, just a really another big hitter, Deep Ellum out in Houston, Texas. And then Perrin out in Michigan.
Oh my God.
So it's kind of everywhere. Just polka dotted the map.
Yeah. In the States. Yeah. That's really cool. I mean, I love Oscar Blues. Who doesn't love Oscar Blues though?
Right.
Right.
Cigar City, though, being from the Southeast, I was like, what do you mean Oscar Blues is the biggest name? I mean, they kind of are.
No, Cigar City kills it. They do some really great stuff over there.
When I was in Florida last year, earlier this year, I had some Cigar City, and it was like, this shit is that good. Damn it.
Also, I mean, this was several years ago. Now, I would say probably close to really 10 years ago, the first time that I went down, but Gainesville, Florida had some really awesome breweries. I'm not necessarily saying everyone should go to Gainesville, Florida, but if you find yourself there, there are a lot of really rad local breweries. I know that's like a little ways from... I went down there for a music festival, and they would do like a pre-fest in Ybor? I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's a weird word, but it's where Cigar City is, and they would do like a pre-festival thing there, and I never actually got to make it for that, but I was like, I want to go just to go to Cigar City. But then the real festival was in Gainesville, and I don't know. Florida actually has got some really rad craft beer. I don't know why I just felt the need to say nice things about Florida.
Oh, I had a kumquat beer in Florida, and it was fantastic. Yeah. It's my favorite beer down there. Kumquat.
Yeah.
It's a hard word to say, but.
Explain the beer. What?
So it was an actual lager made with kumquats.
Oh, that's it.
And it was crisp, clean, but kumquat-y. I don't know. That's
What's a kumquat taste like?
Yeah. Kumquat's like a orangey, tangerine-y, like citrus. If it made love just a little bit of a melon, that's what a kumquat tastes to me. And it was fantastic. I loved it.
Huh.
So much so that I gave it to my wife and she loved it. So if she liked it, it's a good beer, right?
Well.
I think she has a good palate. Yeah. No, but Libby, you like working for the co-op then?
I do, for sure. It's definitely provided me a lot of opportunities that may have been a little bit more difficult along the way. You know, they've really fostered my education. They've financially and emotionally supported me as I, you know, navigate what it is that I want to do and what it is I'm trying to learn. Mm-hmm. It's been really great.
I love it. I love it so much. And do you see yourself there for 5 more years?
I hope so. Yeah, I think that would be perfect. I would love to kind of see not only what I can gain from that, but now, you know, as the tables are starting to turn and I'm getting that knowledge and I'm getting that confidence, I'd love to see what I can bring to them and, as a repayment now.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then you brought us the Squatter's beer.
Yes.
So we tried to Wasatch one. That was one of your favorites, the introduction. Mm-hmm. And then you have one from Squatter's. So
I do have
tell
a very
us what this is.
Super tough secret Squatter's brew. This one's actually just a complete prototype. It was brewed at one of the R&D brewery, right? The smaller brewery out in Park City. And it is a hazy version of our hop rising. So we have the regular hop rising, the tropical hop rising, and now we're going to extend that line even further to a third, the hazy variety.
Oh my goodness.
I'm very excited about it. And if you guys have seen the can, you know, Jason Stock's on the label, and in this one they put little flowers all in his beard. And he looks very Hunter S. Thompson-y, and it's really cool.
Does he love being on the cans?
You know, I think sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. He's told me some cute stories of, like, being in the grocery store and getting spotted like a little celebrity. But I sure do love seeing him in the parades when he throws on those overalls.
Oh, man, I can only imagine. And that hat.
Yeah, this looks delicious. Let's dive in.
I think the hop rising is probably, if I could, it'd be the Sierra Nevada of Utah, like that, this beer. The Sierra Nevada is pale ale. Like, that's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is a really well-received beer, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's probably number one, well, top seller, one of them, right?
Mm-hmm. I hear a lot about Full Suspension. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of brewers secretly are like, that's my go-to beer.
It is so good. And I think when that 5% changed, the Full Suspension really came back for me as like, oh, I want to drink that more.
What do you ladies think?
It's very fruity.
Mm-hmm. Still has like that hop rising balance for sure with those malty sweet aromas.
It's dangerous.
But it's a lot of melon and sweet citrus in the nose for sure.
This is what I wish the nose was on the original.
Mm.
Just like sweeter, more floral. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot.
Now we have this for you.
Hop
rising is one I have a low tolerance. I picked a really great career for somebody with such a low tolerance. So I usually stray away from 9% beers. I try to keep my palate up and try it every once in a while, taste it in class. But yeah, I'm very excited for this. This is great.
I mean, what do you think, Rach?
Yeah, I like it. I don't know. I feel like I want even more, though. I want, like, more.
Mm-hmm.
I want more. I want more from it. But I still think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Liz.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. Mm-mm-mm. I'm tickled. I want to know a 5-year plan for you. What's a goal you have in the next 5 years? For Libby in general. It doesn't have to be necessarily the co-op, but
right.
For Libby.
Yeah. I definitely like to continue my studies. I'd love to do a consumer-facing class at some point, ideally with the co-op. I think the server classes are such a powerful tool, but I would love to kind of bring that, the vibe that I have in those classes, bring that out into the community and kind of teach everyone. I'm really enjoying seeing the the way the servers are benefiting from it, our employees and our staff. But yeah, that's kind of just like a personal goal, is to teach a class to the general public.
I like that. I don't know how we facilitate a way to make that happen, though.
I don't. Well, there's at that like downtown. What do you call that one? The one that's downtown next to Gracie's.
Squatter's Pub.
Squatter's Pub. Mm-hmm. I love that place. Mm-hmm. But it's got that like those private rooms upstairs. Mm-hmm. I could see you doing something like that seems like a cool place for people to sign up for a private class and taste stuff and
beer tasting. Yeah,
for sure.
Do it.
Yeah,
I see why not. outside, let's outside of the co-op.
Yeah.
this is a loaded question. Uh-huh. So, top three favorite breweries. Let's go. How about the brewery you think is the most underrated?
Okay.
In Utah. The brewery that you think is just nailing it, uh-huh. And then your go-to brewery.
Okay. Underrated. I would hope that none of them are underrated. So that one might be the hardest. I'm not sure. That one, for me, I think personally, I had forgotten about Fisher until these ladies dragged me back and back and back, and they said, hey, we got to go. We're going to Fisher. Maybe not her specifically, but a lot of the Pink Boots girls bring me over there. As far as killing it, TF for sure, by Miles. I love that spot a lot. And then my go-to is probably right here. It's right down the street.
The old hop, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I can walk right over to Sugar House, which is always nice to see some pals over there. But it's nice to shake it up a little bit and
take a
little detour.
Well, underrated, though. You got to think about that one. I'm going to come back to that one
because
I think underrated brewery. I think there's a few out there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to tell you my answer. I don't want to be changeable. But Rachel, I'm curious. I haven't asked you this question.
No, you didn't.
What's your go-to brewery? What's one you think is killing it, nailing it? Just it, like if you're someone out of town came, hey, I'm taking you to show me Utah craft beer. What brewery are you going to? And the most underrated brewery.
Wow. That's really hard.
That's okay. We can take all the time.
Yeah.
There's no like right or wrong answer, by the way. It's just
I know. I guess the place that I'd be like, at least personally for me, that I was like, you have to go here, it would be Keto's, which I also, but I mean like they literally have something for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like they've got like, to me like. They nail a lot of like the classic styles. Like their amber is my absolute like go-to Utah beer. If the amber or the Romando Pale Ale, like those are my two absolute go-tos. If those are on draft somewhere, you know, like that's going to be, I'm going to say that's going to be what I get because I like to try new things. But if I need like a go-to, I'm like, yes, one of those. But also Keto's is very, you know, personal and important to me and stuff. Yeah. But also like, I know if you go in there, like everyone will be welcoming, everyone will be nice. Like you will feel like you'll have a good time there.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't know what that means. I don't know if that, is that my go to or is that my crush in it? I don't know.
Yes. It can be both.
That's right, yeah.
It can be all three. That can be answered for all three. Underrated, crushable, all of it. If you wanted it that way. But underrated. Let's go underrated.
That's really hard. I recently rediscovered Roja. Which sounds bad, but it's like, for some reason, like, I would, like, people are like, oh, what brewery should I go to, like, you know, near downtown? And I would always forget about Roja.
Yeah.
But it was also because, like, they were, like, physically so tiny, but they had that remodel, and their tap room is beautiful now.
I haven't been since. Have you guys been?
Mm-mm.
I go there, like, once a week now to pick up beer for Hopkins. And so, because we sell their seltzer, and we sell one of their High Points now. But I'll go in there, and I'll hang out, and, like, while I'm there, I'll try tasters of their new stuff, and... but yeah, like super awesome, friendly staff, like cool beers, big selection, beautiful tap room, dog friendly patio. I'm like, man, like more people need to go to Roja. So I'm going to say like Roja is my underrated, like go hang out at Roja again.
I like that. I forget about them too.
Also, I think there's a lot of people, and I'll say this, who, you know, stay away from Squatter's Wasatch now because like, oh, they're big. They're like big. They're part of Canarchy. They're like corporate. Mm-hmm. But they're still making great beer. And I love going to the downtown pub because they'll have the one-offs. They'll have a cask. Mm-hmm. Like until Grid City came along, like that was the only place I felt like I could go for a real cask beer. And I love cask beer. So that's another thing. I love the food too. So yeah, I would say, you know, get off your high horse. They're still making good beer. Don't be afraid to say that you love, you know, Hop Rising or Ghost Rider or Full Suspension. Just like, go drink it.
I don't like the people who, I don't mean to say that, but when like the Co-op or Uinta or Red Rock, they came out with a beer like the first time or the second time and it was the best. and they've changed it. They've altered the recipes. And it's like, it's not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck Ghost Rider. It's not the same like it used to be. I'm like, well, you need to understand, like, we're evolving. Things mm-hmm. are evolving. But if you don't like it, then instead of bashing on it, go find something else you like. Mm-hmm. It's really frustrating, especially that's the one thing inside the brewing community that kind of it irritates me is I think Chad's the one that opened my eyes the best. He's like, this is the craft beer scene. Like, we're just trying to make shit happen, like mm-hmm. things to work. Like, so what if your raspberries didn't take off in the beer or you know, you have too much wheat or whatever. Just, like, no, try again next time. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully it sells. Like, just that's because in the craft beer scene, it's these artists that are trying to create. You're not gonna make a masterpiece every time. But you know what I know if you guys brew a beer, you'll think about it and be like, I can do this next time better. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty. Like, it's always, mm-hmm. they're getting better and better. And I don't know, I think Libby, you can probably attest to this, but once you surrender to the fact that you don't know everything, like, you just want to know everything. You're a sponge mm-hmm. soaking it all up. And it's the beauty of that. That's mm-hmm. the thing. It's like, hell yeah. And it goes back to what Rachel was saying. We can sit here and have a beer and just talk over a beer. Mm-hmm. You can have a bad day, a good day. We're still going to talk over a beer, and it's beautiful, right? And you see people do that at the bars. And I bet you see people at the co-op just sitting there enjoying beers. Like, yeah, this is a good place. This is my happy spot.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, that idea that that someone can be the best at it or the smartest or know the most about it seems impossible to me. And I mean, that's coming from somebody I'm still a novice, you know, but that chasm of there's with craft beer, the more you learn, the more you realize that there's so much you don't know. And it's not in an intimidating way. It's in a very exciting way of what I don't know, maybe Rachel does, or maybe you do, and we can all, and maybe I know some things that you guys don't, and how great that we could sit and drink some beers and talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. Thanks, guys.
Step further, I feel like in this industry, we all don't know what we don't know yet. Like, when I first started, like 5 or 6 years ago, I don't think anybody knew we'd be making, like, lactose fruit milkshake bomb. Like, no one knew that was happening. No one really knew hazies were happening. And now, like, but also learning more about, like, biotransformation with, like, your hops and your yeast. Like, there's so much that we are still discovering. And so that's the thing. It's like no one should ever assume that they know everything about beer. Like there's always going to be more to learn with science, with like pushing the boundaries of experimentation. Yeah, and sometimes that doesn't work out. Screw it. But also with this industry, like don't hate on places if they have like a weird beer on tap that missed the mark. Mm-hmm. Because for small breweries, like we're not just going to, unless it's really bad, like don't make us dump it down the drain. Right. Just like, you know, open mind. Don't hate on the little guys.
Yeah. Like the Keto's pickle beer. It might come off as weird, but how do you know? You haven't tried it yet.
That I will say, there are some people who like that is their favorite thing about Keto's now is that pickle beer. I still have not tried it.
I have. Have you, Libby?
I haven't. No, I've had a couple pickle beers though, so I would love to try Keto's.
I think it's really. I love pickles, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, if I order that beer, I'm gonna be like, I need an entire side of pickle garnishes, please.
Absolutely.
But yeah, there's people who come in there and like that's the only beer that they drink, and they are just obsessed with that pickle beer. But that's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. If they love that pickle beer, if mm-hmm. that makes them happy, let them have that.
And that's what you're talking about. You know, the lactose flavored lactose milkshake, blah blah blah. And Chad was saying, and even like Cody from Bewilder, it may not be true beer, if you will, like guidelines of beer. It tastes like a beer. But
it is now. People made it that way.
And it helps people who don't necessarily like beer mm-hmm. to introduce them to the craft beer scene. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of like attention grabbing. It is kind of eye candy-ish. Like I remember one beer fest, we had our lemon pie meringue lactose kettle sour. And I walked around and I put whipped cream. We top it with whipped cream. And every person just like, I want the whipped cream beer. Mm-hmm. I want the whipped cream beer. I'm like, do you know what it is? No, but I want the whipped cream beer. Mm-hmm. At least you're drinking a beer though. And like, can we educate you about why it tastes the way it tastes? You know? And so it's for me, I meant swallowing my pride not to try a diss on things that like, I'm a lager guy. Mm-hmm. I was a lager until the day I die. But there's different lager. Like I have some recipe ideas and I'm like, I would, a traditionalist be like, how dare you put down a lager? But I'm like, let's fuck with it. Why not, right? It's continually growing. Mm-hmm. And on that, Libby, what's a beer that you want to make so bad?
I have been working on a like a honey rice saison. I know that's not like out there, but we got some honey malt in recently, and I held some aside because I knew I wanted to do a little small batch with it, and that's kind of where I landed. So that'll probably be my next one. And I have a bunch of lychee puree from a sample I got. So a lychee Berliner Weiss, I think, is also on the docket.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's awesome.
So I've got a couple little I live in a tiny apartment, but the co-op has a great little homebrew setup that we pull out every once in a while. And so I'll brew something on there.
How often do you homebrew? Do little test batches?
Not nearly enough. I still need to be babysat for it. I'm still a little scared to do it on my own, so it was hard during COVID for sure. We did one at the brewery towards the end of 2020, I think might have been the last little small batch I did. So I'm ready to get back into it.
And yes.
I need to find myself like a really tiny, like 1 gallon setup.
Why not?
Yeah.
Stovetop.
Yep. I need the smallest of smallest homebrew kits. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm excited. Like those two examples you gave, like those sound just like really awesome, but also like really balanced, and it's like to me, like I heard a lot of attention to flavor, and I'm like, yeah, really excited because I've never had a beer that you made, so you'll have to keep us posted.
Absolutely,
small batch.
That would be great. We're down.
For sure.
That sounds like super exciting.
Yeah,
we'll come over and visit and support.
I'd love that.
Absolutely. Thanks. But Libby, is there anything you have questions wise for us today?
I feel like
you do.
I think so too. you know, if you, I'm 6 years in hospitality or in Wasatch Squatters hospitality, but I'm only, you know, 2 years-ish really craft beer focused. What do you guys think would be like the best tool I could have? I mean, aside from just meeting wonderful people like you.
Wow. Well, earlier you mentioned stuff about Cicerone, BJCP, like have you gotten those certifications or?
You know, I'm a fifth of the way through the Cicerone. I finished up the German beer class, and I have been giving myself a little room to breathe before I start the next little course. But I really did like the way that was structured, and I liked how it was just like, just very regimented, which I know it sounds awful. I'm like a little, I was an accountant, you know, I still love a good spreadsheet. So
it's okay. Sounds very German.
Yeah.
German beer class. I don't know. So I'm also, it's ridiculous. I've never taken a Cicerone exam. I'm not BJCP certified. I'm about to be. I'm like, you know what? I need to really get my shit together and do that. But I feel like that's the thing I've heard from people. Yeah. It's like, oh, you do judging. Like, judging is a really good way to, like, refine, like, the way you taste things, the way you think about things. So I'm excited to dive into that. It sounds like you have started to do some of that as well. I don't know. I feel like you're doing great, honestly.
Oh,
like,
thanks.
The fact that you just keep finding ways to educate yourself and the fact that you keep trying to brew more and do everything. I think that's the way. I think just find the specific part of the industry that you are passionate about, that you enjoy doing, and just keep doing it. That's what I think. What do you think?
Put yourself there, like, you know? So, well, you have a story behind that, right? Putting yourself...
Yeah. One of my favorite stories that Libby told to the Pink Boots ladies, and yeah, I'll let her tell it now, but it's about a hop rub.
Yeah. So a hop rub, for anyone who doesn't know, I know at Wasatch and Squatters, they were doing a selection for the harvest that they were going to purchase that year for all of our beers. So the distributors, the hop suppliers sent us samples, and they had kind of set up in the tap room, which was closed down at the time. And so we had, you know, our head brewers out there, our COOs, our QA guys, some packaging folks, out there just geared up, ready to rub these hops. So you take the hop flowers and you rub them between your hands. It kind of opens things up, warms them up a little, gives you a chance to smell them and kind of check them out, check out the quality. And I was like behind my bar, just eyes aglow, just staring at them. Like, man, that looks like a lot of fun. I hope one of them invites me over soon. I'm just going to keep staring at them until one of them invites me over. And then... yeah, they didn't. Not because they were being mean, just because they were very focused on what they were doing. So I just kind of walked up with my own little placemat, and I squeezed on in there. And I think that was the very first time I really had to, like, come in and be like, hey, guys, I want to do this too. And they were so nice, and they walked me through every step. They showed me how to do it, showed me what they were looking for. And it was really, really a surreal almost experience of just, you know, you watch people do a lot of things, and you go, man, I hope I get to do that one day. And It's funny that you bring that up because I was thinking about this podcast even yesterday, like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous trying to think about, you know, what the industry means to me and, you know, the growth I've made. And I had this flashback to my first Pink Boots meeting and having these same sort of feelings of just like, do you know the scene in Ferris Bueller where his friend, what's his friend's name?
I can see him so. Oh my God! I haven't seen him
he's
so
laying on the bed and he's saying, "I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna go."
Cameron.
Yes. Cameron is like my spirit animal in those moments, right? Where he's like, "If I don't go, they're just gonna give me shit. If I don't go, he's just gonna give me shit all day. I'm not going. I'm gonna go. I'm not going." And that was me before my first Pink Boots meeting too. And I finally just had to say, like, "All right, shit or get off the pot. Are you gonna go? Are you not gonna go? Either way, you're not gonna feel bad about it. Nobody's gonna give you, you know, any grief, but." What are you going to miss out if you don't make yourself, if you don't put yourself in those places, you know, make yourself present.
Yeah.
And so I think that is a very great, that's really great advice for everybody just to kind of make sure you're in those spaces and present and placing yourself strategically where you need to be.
I like that. Yeah. You're a badass. Tell you what, cool.
I know. Well, for me, like in my mind, like hearing that, it's like literally, it's like not demanding, but it's like, you were like, you know what, like even if you're not inviting me, I'm going to get a seat at that table. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. And I was the same way, like getting into anything with beer. I was so scared at first. And people think I'm really just like brave and out there right now. And I'm just like, I still feel like the same like introverted, scared human sometimes. I really, when you told that story to Pink Boots, like I resonated with that. I was like, oh yeah, I was also very terrified for like the first 4 years of myself being in this industry to be like, hi, can I taste this? Can I meet this person? I don't know, but I think it's really empowering to hear other people being like, you know what, like, I'm going to make myself do it.
For sure. Yeah. Hype yourself up. Get yourself in those spaces. And if you're somebody listening to this that has one of those spaces, invite those people that are standing in the corners.
Always invite someone. And I think confidence is more powerful than money sometimes. Probably almost every time. Yeah. Because if you're confident, like you were, and you were, Rachel, like, just, it's not rude. You're not being over the top of assertive. You're just like, I'm going to get shit done and I want to learn because like I want to learn. It's my life and I'm going to do this. And I like that. So going back around the question you asked me is be confident. Mm-hmm. Continue to be confident and surrender to the fact that you want to learn everything. And I think you're doing the right thing where you're going to people and you're trying to learn from them. And that's just me. Like I go to you know, all the brewers, I invite awesome people in the industry. I'm like, I just want to know who you are. Like, tell, you have a story to tell, just tell it to me. Mm-hmm. And keep doing that. Meet cool people. And don't be afraid to go away from your cliques to go meet other people. Mm-hmm. That's something that I have a good problem with. I sometimes will go to a brewery with a bunch of my friends, my wife's there, and then I'll just kind of like, go meet everyone. And my wife's like, well, but you came with us to hang out with us. I'm like, I know, but hey, see you guys all the time. And so that's the problem I have, but it's because I want to, who are you? Like, I like your energy. Like, talk to me. What's going on? And especially if we go to like any brewers or distillers, like any in the industry, like get together, I have a hard time not saying hi to everyone. It's really hard, but that's the thing. Everyone needs to be, everyone just wants to be heard at some point. And I think being that confident person where you can just, hey, what do you have to offer me? Mm-hmm. And what can I get back to you? That's, you have to be willing to be like, hey, what can I help? How can I help you? Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day. Because, like, Libby, I feel like any point Rachel and I can come to you and be like, hey, could you help us with this? And be like, hell yeah, I would. And I want you, I hope you can say the same thing about us. Like, if you need something, be like, feel free to reach out. Because I know Rachel and I would be like, hell yeah, let's go. What beer are we drinking too?
Right.
Or what beer can I bring? Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But last question for you.
I have a question.
Oh,
too.
Shit. Rachel, go for it.
Oh, well, I wonder if it's going to be the same question.
No, go for it.
I wanted to know, what would your, like, dream, at least currently right now, like, what would your dream job in beer be? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it's right now, what you have right now, or maybe it's something different. I'm curious right now where you are, like, what your dream trajectory would be.
Yeah.
Like, no barriers, nothing. Like, what would you want to do?
I was at Level Crossing a couple days ago with a friend, and we had a similar discussion, you know, where I'm 34 next week, and I'm feeling, you know, very successful, and I feel like I'm in the right path. And he had the same question, like, well, what's the dream? This, what I'm doing right now, being able to educate the staff in ways that I didn't have right when I started, and helping them, one, not only just make more money and be better servers, but help them tell our story. and hopefully invite more people to this craft beer space. And so it was kind of, it's kind of cheesy, but it was like this, oh, if I could do that, like a freelance beer educator. And then we kind of got to this spot of like, what if I could like write a training manual for places like Olive Garden and Red Lobster? What if you went into Red Lobster and the server had like in-depth craft beer knowledge? Like, could you imagine the impact that would be? Like, so it's just these weird little like, I want to make sure that everyone who wants to know gets an opportunity to learn. So I just really would love to continue doing what I'm doing, just in a broader sense.
That's super rad.
Damn, that's deep.
Yeah.
And I feel like you are the person to get that done.
I hope so.
Writing a book.
It's a brand new goal, so we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, I know so, because like, you're driven. You really are. And I do not doubt for a second that you can make that happen.
Thank you. That's really very cool. Awesome. Thanks.
No, thank you. God, you're the one. I'm interviewing you. Come on now. No, but yeah, that's a damn good question, Rach.
Thanks.
Well done. Yeah,
that was really
great. Okay, well, you gotta follow it up. No, it's not. You gotta follow it up with a good one now.
Jesus.
Extra pressure.
Yeah. I'm not gonna ask mine anyway. I was like, that's a good one to end up. No, but Libby, what's something that, how can Rachel and I help you out?
You know, I think you doing what you're doing is really awesome. I listened to Rachel's show and Erica Palmer's show, like, to kind of prep and kind of see what your deal was here. And I think it's just so great to get the stories of wonderful people like those two and everybody else that you interview. I didn't know syrup was a thing. I just took over cocktail recipe building for Wasatch and Squatters. And to know that there's a local place to get, you know, we already work a little with Bitters Lab, so I'm very excited to reach out to these guys.
And so just they work with Bitters Lab as well.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. See, just making that sort of connection is so important for me because we have 7 locations. Like, I'd love to see them in all 7, you know.
Absolutely.
So I think what you're doing right here is a super powerful tool.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Hopefully I can keep it going. Because, like, there's people in this industry that need to be shown. Like, and I think the syrup's a great example because Syrup Co., what the boys are doing is they're filling in that gap, because as a bar, I used to be a bartender before I became a brewer, and trying to create a rosemary basil simple syrup to put into my cocktail is an extra 5 steps I don't have time for to make a drink, especially when, you know, I have 15 people waiting on me and I have to make that one special drink.
Right.
And they've come in with local ingredients as best they can. A lot of it's gluten-free, a lot of it's vegan, and it's already prepped for you. Mm-hmm. So if I can make all these awesome cocktails and just put that syrup in there that's doesn't have hella sugar, preservatives, everything like that, and just, what?
Yeah.
It's right here in my backyard? Hell yeah. And that makes bartending, as coming from a background of that, way more simple.
Yeah.
And I think what they're doing, they have the potential to own that market, and I hope them the best. And that episode is probably one of my favorite episodes recently, because they sat there and made us a bunch of cocktails, and me and Joel, Cider Maker Joel from Mountain West, we were just in awe of how they were inspired by me, which was, I almost teared up. I'm like, what? Because I made a special test batch of a cider with Joel. We made a chili mango cider.
And it was really good. I got to try it. It was, he's being modest. It was so good.
Thanks, Rachel. And then, but they went and made a habanero mango syrup that you can put into, cocktails, and I'm like, what? You made this? Like, yeah, we made it because of your experiment. I'm like, what? And they did it. And like, you guys gotta listen to the episode, but like, it's so cool to see how they're trying to grow, and they're like, that's a good idea. And it's not like they stole it from me. It's like, none of my ideas are original. Like, not a single beer here is original. Like, it's just, and so I think if we can continue to help each other out, just like you're saying, if I can help build those relationships and connections with you, because for me, relationships are way more powerful than money.
Yeah.
Even that, you know, confidence. I think a relationship is just invaluable.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
And so I hope, Libby, that from here on out, we're best friends. I just want you to know that.
Uh-huh.
Got your back. Rachel and I have your back. But Libby, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to coming out here and sitting at Hopkins and sitting down with Rachel and I. I know it's you're a little nervous, and I'm sorry you were. I don't mean to make you nervous, but I hope it wasn't as nerve-wracking as it was. It's beer and it's relationships, and we're going to build that. And I cannot wait to see the success that you have in store. You're going to do great things.
I'm so excited. I hope I bring a lot to this community. I know that was kind of the intimidating part. You said, what do you provide to the industry? And I went, the industry provides me everything. You know, I'm so in love with this, and I've just been completely enraptured by the whole the whole situation, and to think that I contribute was such a, like, I don't know. But you've really helped me in this moment in the last hour and 10 minutes to kind of really rebuild that relationship with myself too.
And that's beautiful. Yeah. And if I can help empower you, because you are that powerful person, like, go get it, girl. Don't let anyone, anything, not even yourself, stop you, all right?
Yeah. I mean, what I've been hearing from you is I think that you have helped and empowered so many employees over there.
Yep.
And maybe you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And I hope they hear this and they remember to thank you. but you do a lot.
You do too. I think, like you said, we didn't really meet in real life until recently, but we did a lot of Zoom meetings and messaged each other over Instagram when we needed something. And Rachel is such a huge advocate for not just physical safety, but for mental well-being for everyone in this industry. And that means a huge amount to me.
And I think that's why it's a huge, I think her being here on this episode is what made sense to me. Having her as my co-host with you, because this relationship and this bonding, you guys are incredible human beings. And I'm just grateful. Like, you're sitting here like, oh, I get to be on a podcast. No. I'm the spoiled one. I get to be in front of you guys, and you two are just awesome people, and I'm so blessed to know you guys and be your friend and call you my friend, really.
We're all going to interview you one day, by the way.
Not going to happen. Yeah. Not going to happen. Everyone says that, and not going to happen.
I'm going to say that on every episode a month. We're going to interview you one day. People ask me, they're like, what about him? Like, what's he like? Where does he work? No one knows about you.
No one needs to. I have long hair, and I look brownish. That's about it. I pretend to make beer.
Anyways, any closing remarks, Libby?
We did officially submit our proposal for Brave Noise, if you guys haven't heard about that.
Oh, it's, yeah, definitely talk about that.
Yeah, from Notch Brewing, where Rat Magnet is the she does the Rachel things. She kind of does everything at that brewery. And she was the one who 3 months ago asked the very important question, you know, have you experienced any sort of discrimination as a woman in this industry? And she got hundreds of thousands of responses, and we've all spent countless hours discussing it and talking about it and trying to find out how we're going to change it. And I hope those conversations are going on, you know, with the men in this industry as well. And so Wasatch is going to do a beer just to kind of, you know, that's what we do. We go through hard times. We want to change things. So we make a beer about it, and it's going to hopefully bring some awareness to that. We've got a great donation plan set up with the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition, and as well as the Utah YWCA is going to come in and help us with some bystander training for our employees. So we're all very excited about that. So keep an eye out for that in next month.
That's so cool. Beer's so awesome.
Yeah, beer's the best.
Right. Well, again, thank you so much, Libby. Rachel, thank you so much for being here today. If you guys need anything, though, feel free to hit me up anytime of the day.
Hey, right back at
you. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Until the next beverage, my friends.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.